Let's talk a little bit about the second paper that you referred to, looking at pemetrexed maintenance.
So that study was perhaps the one study at ASCO that has the most immediate impact in practice, because as we discussed, I think FLEX will take a little while and it may not have an immediate impact on practice. That maintenance trial is quite relevant. That study was a phase 3 study of pemetrexed or placebo. This was a placebo-controlled trial on a 2-to-1 randomization after 4 cycles of some predefined regimens. Cis-carbo, and I think there was a non-platinum regimen included as well. And so there were, I believe, 440 patients just about in the pemetrexed arm, 220 or so in the placebo arm. And the trial was powered for progression-free survival, which in this particular setting may well be an appropriate endpoint as opposed to first-line, you know, trial, for example. They found a very significant difference in progression-free survival. In fact, it doubled. You know, it was a little less than 2 months in the placebo and a little over 4 months in the pemetrexed arm. Curves, you know, split from the very beginning. And even though the difference in median survival was not statistically significant, it trended very strongly in favor of pemetrexed. In fact, the absolute difference in median survival was nearly 3 months. And if I'm not mistaken, the p-value there was 0.06. So very strong signal that this may have had an impact on overall survival. It's an important issue, Neil, because this trial adds to the FIDES trial from ASCO 2007, which looked at more or less the same issue. And another trial, I believe from Japan, that looked at gefitinib following 3 cycles of chemo. That's a bit different from what we're discussing now. But it, in a way, it resurrects the whole maintenance question, which has been a dogma for 20 years in the treatment of this disease. There was also, and I don't know the details that well, but there was also a meta-analysis of 13 randomized trials presented at ASCO that indicated, again, a positive effect of maintenance, if you want to call it that way, on progression-free survival that was statistically significant, no significant difference in overall survival, and perhaps a detriment in terms of quality of life. And those are the issues.
You know, it's kind of interesting if you compare breast, colon, and lung in that respect, because, you know, breast, pretty much people just keep treating until the patient progresses when they have metastatic disease.
Absolutely.
Colon, they sort of do it, but then they have the old Optimox thing they bring in where they want to give people a break. And then lung, they just stop therapy.
Yes.
And sometimes I wonder, really, is there a fundamental difference in the three diseases that create this difference in the paradigm?
I think it may be the efficacy of the treatment. Basically. So I think our treatments so far have had a very modest impact in the course of this illness in general. So there was very little excitement for keeping patients on chemo continuously. Now I think this has changed. We have, in a way, optimized first-line chemo, and we continue to do that with the addition of the biologicals. We have incredibly better supportive care as far as maintaining people relatively stable throughout those initial cycles of chemo. And we have better drugs that allow us to revive some of these important questions. I am personally impressed by the results of that study. I do understand some of the issues as far as, is this really maintenance versus early initiation of second line? There are all kinds of issues with respect to definitions here. What are we really doing with these patients? But from a practical standpoint, it goes back to what you just said. This is uninterrupted treatment versus a fixed number of cycles in first line followed by treatment only at progression. That's a very significant difference.